This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Vav Mishnah Beis. In the previous mission, we began to discuss unconventional, more makeshift types of Akira stoves. Our mission discusses another such case. Here we have Ha'evin Shahayashofis Aleha Ve'alatanar. Person formed a makeshift Kira by placing a large stone next to a tanor. So in other words, it's next to a regular conventional tanor oven. Person, plastered to the ground, he used clay, which is halachically the same as earthenware. It gets hard, turns to earthenware. He placed that next to this tanor so that the tanor and the stone form a kind of kira, in that they're able to support a pot and you could light a fire underneath. Or a lev ala kira. Or let's say there was a regular conventional kira stove, and he put a stone next to that, and again, attached the stone to the ground with clay. Or a lehav yala kupach. Or did the same next to the kupach type of stove, which we've learned reaches a temperature that's in between the kira and the tanor. The point is that there was a halachic stove or oven, and next to that, this person placed a stone, attached it to the ground with clay, which turns to earthenware, so that now he could put a pot on top of those two supports and light a fire beneath and use that as a kira. The Mishnah rules that indeed in all three of these cases, tamea. The arrangement is considered a halacha kira, and thus the tumah rules of kira apply in this situation. So for example, if a source of tumah, dead sharetz, let's say, enters the airspace, the area where the person lights the fire, this arrangement, then the whole thing becomes ritually impure, even though a big portion of it is made of stone. But since it's fixed to the ground with clay, with earthenware, and it works in tandem with a regular earthenware, kira, kupach, or tanor, the whole thing, therefore, is considered as if it were made of earthenware. It has the law of an earthenware kira. And so again, for example, if a tumah source goes into the interior, the whole thing becomes tameh. If, however, one made an arrangement whereby aleha ve'ale evan, yet on the one side, one support was again a stone that was fixed to the ground with clay, but then the other support was a freestanding stone, was not attached to the ground with clay, or aleha ve'ale sela, where you had the one stone fixed to the ground with clay, the other support was just bedrock, was a part of the ground, or aleha ve'ale kosel, or the arrangement was to place the pot on it, the stone attached to the ground with clay. And the other support was a stone wall. And again, no clay earthenware involved in that second support. Allah in these cases is tahara. The arrangement, even though this functions as a kiri, could put a pot on top of the two things and put a fire beneath, it functions as a kira, yet this does not have the halachic status of a kira. Because in this case, only one of the supports is affixed to the ground with clay. And therefore, this is considered a stone stove. And of course, if we have a keli that's made of stone, the halacha is that's not subject to any tumah whatsoever. The Mishnah notes that v'zu haisa kira sanazirim shib Yerushalayim, the cooking apparatus that was used for the nazirim who had to bring among different karbanos a karban shlamim, which was cooked in a pot in one of the chambers in the base of Mikdash. It was set up in this way, that is, you had one stone attached to the ground with clay, shekineged ha'sela, opposite the bedrock portion of the harabayis. That was utilized as the second support for the pot that cooked the nazir's shlamim meat. And this had the advantage then of being impervious to tumah. Now that's good. And even if there was, let's say, a dead sheretz in the area, we wouldn't have to be concerned of the shlamim meat becoming tameh as a result of the dead sheretz coming into the airspace between the two supports, or for that matter, touching any part of the apparatus, as we just learned that this is considered a keli that's made from stone, which is completely impervious to tumah. The Mishnah says, as regards kiras ha-tabachim, the kira that would typically be used by the tabachim, by the butchers, that is, commercial cooks who produced a very large quantity of cooked meat. And so they had these more like industrial grade kiros that had multiple fires going. The Mishnah says, Mizmat Shehu Nosein Evin Mitzad Evin, if this caterer, this person having a lot of pots going on at the same time. Set up an arrangement of several stones set up all level with each other, one next to the other. And between each successive pair of stones, he would build a fire and put a pot above each of those fires. And the stones are all fixed to the ground with clay, so that, based on the ruling above, this will have the halachic status of an earthenware kira. And so if a tumah source enters the airspace in between, then a tumah will be contracted. But the Mishnah rules, we don't view this whole thing as one big kira. Rather, nidmes achas mehen, if one pair of stones becomes tameh, because let's say dead sheretz entered the airspace between those two stones, lo nidmu kulan, the other pairs don't also become tameh. Rather, we view each pair of stones as a separate and distinct kira, even though they're all like alongside each other in one continuous row. But no, each pair is considered an independent kira, and so if one pair becomes tameh, that doesn't affect the other.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.